Welcome in. In this lesson, we're building a Nightbiz-style call-and-response riff push in Ableton Live 12, aimed at that VHS rave jungle and old-school DNB vibe. The big idea here is simple. Instead of trying to write a massive bass line, we're going to make two small parts talk to each other. One sound asks the question, the other answers. That back and forth is a huge part of classic drum and bass energy, because it creates motion, tension, and attitude without cluttering the mix. We're going to keep the low end solid, keep the drums punchy, and add just enough tape-worn color to make it feel dusty, cinematic, and a little bit haunted in the best way. Start by setting your tempo around 172 BPM. That's a really nice middle ground for jungle and old-school DNB. Then make three groups in your set: drums, bass, and effects or atmos. If you've got a reference track, drop it in now and keep it low. We're not copying it, we're checking the balance, the brightness, and how much space each element gets. Also, watch your master level early. A lot of beginner DNB mixes get messy because everything starts too hot. Aim for some headroom, around -6 dB on the master while you build. That way, when you add saturation and movement later, you're not already clipping. Now let's build the drum foundation first, because in DNB the drums need to lead the energy. Inside the drums group, load up a drum rack with a kick, a snare or clap, and a chopped break sample if you have one. If you're new to jungle programming, a break layered underneath your one-shot kick and snare is a great starting point. Keep the kick short and punchy. Keep the snare centered and solid, and keep the break lower in level so it adds motion without taking over. If you want to chop the break quickly, use simpler in slice mode or classic mode. Don't overcomplicate it. The goal is to get movement, not to make a perfect break reconstruction. After that, put EQ8 on the drum group. High pass the break somewhere around 120 to 180 Hz so it stays out of the sub range. If the snare feels too sharp, dip a little around 3 to 6 kHz. Then add a light drum bus, a little drive, a little crunch if needed, but keep the boom low for now. We want pulse, not mud. Now for the bass foundation. This is where the groove starts talking. Create an operator track in the bass group and use a clean sine wave for the sub. Keep this part very simple, one note at a time. No stereo, no widening, no flashy movement. Just clean low-end support. Set the amp envelope with a fast attack, and if you want the notes to feel punchier, give them a shorter decay. Write a short 8-bar MIDI clip with only a few notes. Think in terms of gaps. Maybe the sub hits on beat 1, then answers again later in the bar, then leaves room. That space is important. In this style, the sub doesn't need to be busy. In fact, it often feels harder when it's more restrained. Put a utility after the sub and make sure the width is at 0%. Keep that low end in mono. That's one of the most important habits in drum and bass mixing. The sub should be boring on purpose. That's what makes the rest of the track feel alive. Now we create the response sound. Duplicate the bass track or make a second instrument track in the bass group. This will be your call and response answer layer. A good beginner choice here is Wave Eatable. Start with something saw-like, add a little detune, and keep the unison modest. Don't go huge yet, we want a resish, mid-range heavy answer that has some movement but doesn't smear the mix. Use a low-pass filter with moderate resonance and shape the envelope so the note starts quickly and releases fairly short. The idea is for this layer to speak in the gaps left by the sub. If the sub hits on beat 1, maybe the answer comes on the end of 2 or on beat 4. If the sub is sparse, the response can be a little busier, but the key is still restraint. These parts should not be talking over each other all the time. If the response has too much low end, put EQ8 on it at high pass around 100 to 150 Hz. Let the sub own the bottom. This is one of those beginner mix moves that instantly makes a loop feel cleaner. Now let's make it feel like VHS rave. The color in this style usually comes from filtering, subtle saturation, and movement over time, not from making everything huge. So add automation to the response layer. In Wave Eatable, try automating the filter cutoff, a little bit of LFO amount, or unison spread if you want more width than the mids. Or use auto filter and slowly open and close the tone like a dusty tape machine waking up. A really nice move is to start the response slightly muffled, then open the filter across 4 bars. That gives you a sense of progression without needing to write more notes. You can also brighten the response only at the end of the phrase, so it feels like it's leaning forward into the next section. For space, set up echo on a return track and send only the response into it, not the sub. Use a short delay time like 1/8 or 1/8 dotted, and keep the feedback modest. Just enough to smear the edges a little and give it that rave halo. Then add a reverb on another return if you want a more cinematic wash, but keep it filtered so it doesn't cloud the low end. Teacher note here, send effects are your friend in this style. It's usually better to automate a little more send at the end of a phrase than to leave delay or reverb on all the time. That way, the space becomes part of the performance. Now we shape the mix so the drums and bass don't fight. Put EQ 8 on the bass response and carve out any mighty low mid energy if it's crowding the snare. Usually a gentle reduction somewhere around 180 to 300 Hz can help. If the sound gets harsh, tame a little around 2 to 5 kHz. Use utility to check mono again. Keep the sub narrow, and if the response has width, keep it moderate. Wide bass sounds exciting in solo, but in the full mix it can quickly get messy. If the bass notes jump out too much, add a light compressor on the bass group. Keep it gentle. You're just smoothing the performance, not flattening it. In DNB, the drums need to hit first. The bass supports the groove. It doesn't swallow the transients. Now for the grit. On the response layer, add saturator and push it a little. Maybe 2 to 6 dB of drive to start. If needed, turn on soft clip. You can also use drum bus lightly if you want a bit more edge. The important thing is to add color without wrecking clarity. This VHS rave vibe works best when the sound feels a little worn, a little compressed, a little imperfect. That's the magic, not total destruction. If you want an extra lo-fi touch, you can experiment with Redux, but go carefully. A tiny amount can give you that digitized edge. Too much and the groove falls apart. Now let's arrange the idea like a reel drop. Think in 8-bar phrases. Bars 1 and 2, basic call and response. Bars 3 and 4, repeat it, but change one note at the end so it feels alive. Bars 5 and 6, filter the response down and then open it back up. Bars 7 and 8, add a little fill. Maybe mute the response for half a bar so the drums breathe before the next phrase. That kind of small change goes a long way. A lot of beginner producers think they need more sounds, but in this genre the real power is in timing, space, and contrast. Short notes can actually hit harder than long ones. A tiny pause can feel more energetic than a giant fill. If you want to push it a little further, try shifting the answer to a different beat every 4 bars, or mute the response for 1 bar. Then bring it back stronger. That absence can feel bigger than adding more notes. You can also make one note change every 2 bars instead of rewriting the whole part. That's a very musical way to create progression without losing the identity of the loop. Here's a useful mix mindset while you work. Think in layers of attention. First, the listener hears the kick and snare. Then they feel the sub movement. Then they notice the answer sound. Then the atmosphere and echoes. If all of those are fighting for first place, the mix gets blurry. If each one has a role, the whole thing feels bigger. For your practice pass, try this exact mini workflow. Set the project to 172 BPM. Build a 2-bar drum loop with kick, snare, and a chopped break. Program a simple sub-phrase with only a few notes. Create a response stab or mid-bass line that only plays in the gaps. High-pass the response around 100 to 150 Hz. Add a little saturator. Put echo on a return and automate the send at the end of the phrase. Then repeat the loop across 8 bars and make one small change every 2 bars. The goal is not to make it complicated. The goal is to make it feel alive. If you do it right, you'll end up with a tight jungle or old-school DNB loop that has solid low-end, punchy drums, and a bass line that talks back like it belongs in a nightbiss session rolling through a foggy VHS rave. Clean enough to mix, dirty enough to have character, and simple enough for a beginner to finish. So keep the sub clean, let the response answer in the empty spaces, and use filters, saturation, and send effects to add movement. In drum and bass, the magic is often not more sound. It's better rhythm, better separation, and better timing.